Amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here, and I have the privilege and the honor to be up here today to share with you in week two of our series called New Year, New You. And the reason that we decided to do that, it seems a bit cliche, but I do think that every year, every time that a new year rolls around, there is this sense of expectation, and there's this kind of air of opportunity around us where, like, all of the stuff that I didn't get right last year or things that I didn't get as right as I wanted to get last year, it feels like an opportunity for newness, a chance to try again, a do-over or a do-it-again type moment like we just sang about a few moments ago. And I think that if we don't take advantage of that opportunity to take some time together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the church, as who we are as individual Christ followers, to take an opportunity to say, okay, in this year, in all of the ways that I didn't follow God as closely as I wanted to last year, or this year, for the first time ever, God is going to be a priority in my life, or for the first time ever, I'm at least going to spend some time investigating whether this Jesus stuff is all that it's cracked up to be. What, for whatever reason that we might have to take this opportunity of newness at the beginning of a year to do some introspection and some reflection and some planning and some goal setting and all the stuff that comes along with a new year. We wanted to capitalize on that as a church because we want this to be your best year ever. And so in order to do that, we started last week and we said that for us as Fusion City Church, one of the three kind of tenets that we hang our hats on is that we're going to be a church that loves God, that loves people, and that serves the world. And last week we talked about how we can better love God by better connecting with Him through the truth of His Word, and how we can make studying Scripture, not just reading Scripture to finish, but reading to fall in love with its author, that if as we do that we're able then to love God more completely. And today I want to talk about another facet of what it looks like for us to love one another, to join together for the purposes of accomplishing something bigger than we could accomplish on our own. We've all heard the saying that there's strength in numbers. I think it's bigger than that. Because when you change from an individual to a group of something, you change the entire identity altogether. It becomes something completely different when groups of like-minded people join together. It changes the whole identity. And with that comes a stronger and more clearly defined purpose. It's not just true for people. It is true for animals, right? Like, even their identity gets changed when you put them in a group of more than one, right? Let me give you a few examples, right? Like, we all know what this is. These are what? These are elephants, right? Yes, it's not a trick question, I promise. Like, I tried to make it easy. All right, I didn't pick like really obscure animals with really odd names. All right, these are elephants. But when you put elephants in a group, what you get is you get a herd, right? It's called a herd of elephants. Now, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but multiple animals, when put into a group, have different names for the group. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. Let me give you another example. A lot of you really smart people probably know this one. These are what? Those are lions. Good. Yeah, you guys are doing good. All right. So now, anybody know what a group of lions is called? A pride, right? They're called a pride of lions. All right. A little more difficult. A little more difficult. Maybe you've not heard this one. Next. Let's go next. These are what? These are cheetahs. Does anybody know what you call a group of cheetahs? You call them the Patriots. That's right. Yeah. That even sounds like some New England. There's a bunch of cheetahs up there. All right? Thought that was really appropriate. Actually, a group of cheetahs is actually called a coalition. Isn't that weird? I thought it was kind of odd. It's a coalition of cheetahs. All right, we've got more. Let's keep going. This is a super trivia thing. A lot of people know this because it's a popular trivia question. Anybody know what you call a group of crows? A murder. That's right. These are called a murder of crows. That's super weird. Why in the world? Anyway, it is what it is. All right, so next, these are donkeys. Does anybody know what you call the group of donkeys? Nah, easy. 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 See, I was going to make that joke and took it out as to not offend anybody, and my dad, of all people. That's awesome to me. I love that. Actually, Dad, they're called a pace. It's called a pace. It's called a pace of donkeys. For those of you listening to this on the podcast, never mind. You don't need to know. All right. Last one. These are vultures. Does anybody know what you call a group or a collection of vultures? Anybody know? It's this. They're called a committee. That's true. I thought it was a joke too. I had to go look it up. No, they're literally called a committee. Hey, Pastor Brian, why doesn't Fusion Church divide all its people into a bunch of group of committees? Right there. That's why. That's why we don't have committees at Fusion City Church. A bunch of dang vultures. All right. Now, see, here's what happens. When you take something that's in an individual, it has its own identity, it has its own name, it has its own delineation. But when you take it and you put it in a group, it changes the whole identity. Right? And all of those animals that we just looked at, one of them is either scary, useful, annoying, whatever they are. But when you multiply that, when you put them in a group or a herd or a pride or a coalition or a committee or a pace, when you put them in a group, they amplify the potential for whatever it is that they have. They're either more scary, like multiple cheetahs, multiple lions, multiple elephants, because those things can be dangerous, right? Or donkeys, you get a bunch of them working together, they can do it. If you can get them to quit being stubborn and go in the same direction, like they're really useful for farming and that kind of stuff. Like crows, one or two, not so bad. You get a bunch of them and you got to wash your car. Like whatever it is. It amplifies when you put them into a group because their whole identity, their purpose is magnified. The same thing is true for us.
Right.
For those of us that have surrendered our lives to Christ, you might call us a Christian, or you might call them a Christ follower or a believer. But what do you call a group of Christians? You call them the church. And when we as individual Christians, Christ followers, believers, enter into this thing called the church, our power and potential, it's amplified and it's magnified, and all of us have a part and a role to play in that. Another term for a gathered or collective group of Christians is also known as the body of Christ. And the reason that we use that term to delineate a group or a collective of Christians and Christ followers is that's the term that Paul used to define a gathered group of believers, like-minded people trying to accomplish the mission of extending the gospel into the world. Like that's what Paul would call the church. He would call it the body of Christ. And then he would go on to say this about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said this. He said, for the body, talking about the church, or actually just talking about the body, he's gonna make this metaphor between the body of Christ and our human bodies. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body, now Paul's going to make an argument, right? And it seems silly, but Paul's drawing contrast. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Globally, there is one church. Now, we meet in pockets that look like this, local gatherings of the church, but globally, we are all part of the body, the global church. And I love here that Paul calls out or calls emphasis to in verse 18, that God has put them in the place where he chose. See, I believe, and I believe with a strong amount of conviction that you and I are where we are, when we are, for the specific purposes that God has designed and chosen. He has put you where you are in the city. Did you ever think about this? Think about this. How did you get to Kannapolis? Yeah. Like nobody knows where Kannapolis is. You guys know this if you're from Kannapolis. When you try to tell people where Kannapolis is, you have to tell them where Charlotte is. Because everybody's heard of Charlotte. It's like, hey, where are you from? I'm from Kannapolis, North Carolina. And you get this real confused, befuddled look on their face. It's like, I'm about 20 minutes north of Charlotte. Oh, and then there's like this enlightenment thing, right? But all of us right now are sitting in a room together in the city of Kannapolis in North Carolina in 2020 for a purpose, for a reason. And I believe strongly enough in the sovereignty, the creative brilliance and design of God to believe that you are here and I am here in this moment, in this place, at this particular juncture in the eternity of time for a purpose. And if you are a brother or sister of mine in Christ, if you are a Christ follower, if you are a Christian, one whose life has been surrendered to Christ, then I believe that you, according to what Paul says here, that you have a role to play, a part to play in the body. That there is a purpose that only you were created for, that only you can accomplish. And that God wants to see you accomplish that in its entirety and its fullness. But it takes all of us knowing that we have a part to play. See, I think sometimes what we tend to do is we tend to elevate certain people or elevate certain roles as it pertains to the body of Christ, to the church. And people like me get a lot of credit, I guess, for being on a stage and proclaiming the gospel, but and other people who sing or play an instrument or do particular things as it pertains to the church, that they tend to get if I could only. But the reality is that all of us weren't created to do this. And all of us weren't created to do what any of the rest of us were created to do. That each of us have our own specific role to play as it pertains to the body of Christ. We all have different roles. And it's what we have to do in order for us to accomplish what it is that God would have us to accomplish is we have to not only know our role and understand that there are other roles that I'm not designed, created, or equipped to fill, but then to also respect the others for the purpose that they fulfill as well. What I think happens oftentimes is there's either comparison or jealousy over what we see that the other giftings that people have as it pertains to the body of Christ. It's as if the ear were to be jealous of the eye, and why would you not be? Because I mean, the eye gets a lot of play, right? You think about like movies and sayings and phrases like she's the apple of my ear. And it just doesn't ring right. You know, never had an ear to ear conversation. It's never really happened. I've never looked at my wife and gazed lovingly into her ear hole. Like, that's just weird. Like, it doesn't. And if I did, I think she'd probably leave me. Beauty is in the ear. That doesn't ring the same. She has bedroom ears, right? That's weird. I can see the stars in her. None of it works, right? How easy would it be for the ear to say, man, I really wish I was an eye. The eye gets all the good press. But if everybody was an eye and the ear were to say it, nobody would be able to hear it. You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, it was cheesy. I know. Come on, just laugh in, anyway. All right. The problem is when we tend to compare ourselves one to another, we lose something that's altogether invaluable. And if you're looking for a big idea, something to take away from today, you can write this idea down. When we compare, we lose the power of compliment. When we compare each other to it or to ourselves, we lose the power of compliment. And that's not compliment like, man, you look good today. That's not that kind of compliment. All right, I had to look it up. If you spell it with an I, it means to flatter. If you spell it with an E, it means to add to. There's your English lesson for today. We do that regularly here at Fusion City Church because I'm a grammar nerd. So to compliment, to add to strengthen because of proximity. Let me get an example. A bunch of years ago now, I was a supervisor for UPS, and I was over the preload division. That's the guys and ladies who come in and load the trucks in the morning so that the drivers can deliver them to your house. Also the reason we don't have your 2020 books yet either, but that's another story for another day. little dig at my former employer there. But anyway, I used to work for UPS as a supervisor, and every now and then, if we were having good days, if we met our quarterly numbers, if we were having good days, then they would authorize me to treat all of the people under my charge to biscuits. And we would typically go to Hardee's and get sausage biscuits because those are the cheapest, and we'd bring those back, and we'd feed the guys breakfast while they worked. We couldn't take away from the production, but we had to, wanted to honor them and show them some respect for working hard and working well and accomplishing good things. And so we'd go get them biscuits. And I remember the very first time that I ever went to get sausage biscuits, I got, and the lady at the counter said, do you want any condiments and stuff? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't really eat anything on my sausage biscuit. Just throw some stuff in the bag. And so she threw in a bunch of mustard, and I took all the biscuits back, and I gave them to the guys, and I didn't have any ladies on my belt at the time, and gave them to the guys on the belt, and they're like, hey, man, you got any jelly? Jelly? What do you need? Like, it's sausage. Like, I gave you a sausage biscuit. Why do you need jelly? Like, oh, man, like, sausage and jelly, that's the best. Like, that's I don't want a mustard. Give me the jelly. And I was like, who puts jelly on sausage? That's gross. Like, why? Like, that's not, don't do that. And he's like, have you ever tried it? And I said, well, no. Like, I haven't ever tried it because, ooh, right? Like, no, who does that, right? He's like, oh, man, you got to try it. And so this one particular guy gave me a hard time. And so the next time that we met our numbers and I was authorized to go buy the guy's biscuits, I went. And the lady's like, hey, do you want any condiments? I'm like, yeah, give me some mustard. And Lord help us. Like, give me some flipping jelly. Like, put some jelly in the bag. And so she did. I took it back. And the guys are like, they're all making their biscuits. And this guy who, angry that I didn't get him jelly the first time, he's like, dude, you got to try the jelly. And he did. Now I get so disappointed when there's not jelly with my sausage biscuit. You know why? Because it's awesome. It's the salty and the sweet. It's amazing. You got like the crispness of the sausage and the gooiness of the jelly on a buttery biscuit. It's amazing. All right? We serve our volunteers biscuits here every several months or whatever. I get really disappointed if I go in and there are sausage biscuits and no jelly left because I got to have jelly with my sausage biscuit. It complements it and makes it way better. If you ain't eating jelly on your sausage biscuit, you're missing out on life. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You got to do it. Next time, you should try it. All right, so that's what it means to compliment. Like, you don't know what you're missing until it's not there, right? And for us in the church, we are designed with different roles and different purposes because God has particularly put those in place as he has chosen and designed that each might complement the other. There are no insignificant parts of the body. Every part matters. Now you know this to be true. There are parts of our body that if removed, we can live without appendixes and gallbladders and that kind of stuff. Like, there are parts of it, but every time that happens, like, the rest of your body has to work harder to compensate for the things that you're missing. There are no insignificant parts of the human body. There are no insignificant parts of Christ's body either. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability and whether or not you are complementing the rest of the body around you. You make us better. You make me better. You see, it takes all of us, because we're different, to create the variety and the difference in perspectives. And for each and every one of us to have the best year ever, we need each other. I need to know how you see the world and how it's different than how I see the world, because that's going to help me either cement or modify my worldview. That's why we put such a huge emphasis here on connect groups, because we believe that getting in a group of believers, as the church meeting outside of the four walls of the YMCA, getting in a group of other people and having conversations about the things that we talk about here on Sundays, the things that we find in God's Word, that as we come at those from different perspectives and with different worldviews and different ideas, that it makes each and every one of us better. And I know this to be true, that the only way that I am going to have the best year of my life is that if I put around myself other parts of the body that make me better, that help me, that challenge me, that encourage me, that strengthen me, that console me when I'm weary. Like we need that. I need that. And so do you. But if we're hung up on how important we are or how important we feel or how important we don't feel, or if we're hung up on any of that stuff, then we lose the power of compliment. We lose the power of making each other better. Individually, God has a purpose for your life. I believe that to be true. But collectively, there's a greater purpose. And if you are not as connected to the body as you should be, or as you could be, I don't like should. Should makes rules and that kind of stuff. Nah, it's not about that. If you're not as connected to the body as you could be, man, we need you. We need you. We're glad that you're here. Like you wouldn't be listening to this if you weren't. Like, you are here, so we're glad that you're here. We need you more than here. We need you connected, plugged in, participating. You ever had a part of your body go numb? Right? Like, it's still there, but it's not useful. My wife gives me a hard time about how much time I spend in the restroom. I've tried to explain to her, it's like 10 to 12 minutes for me to, you know, do my business, and then it's like another 3 to 5 for me to get the feeling back in my legs. Like, that's why it takes so long. My legs are there, but they just, like, you know, I can't get any blood to, you know, flow through it takes a few minutes before I can walk again. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it's like to be here but not be connected. And we want you. That's a terrible illustration for that. But it's I told y'all last week, I ain't a good pastor. It's the best I could come up with. All right. That's the part of my leg, my body that goes numb the most, is my legs. All right. We want you here. That's awesome. But that's not the end of the road. That was never the goal, was to get you in the door. The goal was to see you become an active, participating, connected part of the body, doing what only you can do, reaching only those that you can reach. There are people in your life that I don't know, that I'll never know, that I'll never have a relationship with, but you do. And God put you there for them to be His message, His light, His voice in their life. God put you there. And you can bring them to church for Pastor Brian and Pastor Quentin and Pastor Jonah to try and fix them, but that's not what God has designed us to do. I believe that the role of the pastor is to equip you to go and be what it is that only you can be to only those that you can be that person for. But that takes all of us encouraging one another, holding each other accountable, studying, growing, strengthening our faith by being part of something that's bigger than ourselves, by taking ourselves from being just a Christian to being part of the body. Now we believe, for us, the best way that we could figure out how to help you do that was to get you around some other brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to strengthen, encourage, challenge, hold you accountable, console, whatever it is that you need them to be as they are the body of Christ to you, so that you can go and be the body of Christ for somebody else. We believe the best way for that to happen is for you to be part of a group. We call them connect groups, and we call them that because we like the idea of connectedness, of being attached, and not just attached, but active, involved, and participating. Now, if you're new to Fusion City Church, or if you've never been part of a connect group, here's what they are, here's what we ask you to participate in. Find a night of the week. We have them Sunday through Thursday. Find a night of the week that works for you and for your family. And if your pushback is, Pastor Brian, we don't have a night of the week that works, that may very well be the problem. Find a night of the week that works for you and for your family. If there's not a night of the week that works, you should make some changes so that there is a night of the week that works for you and for your family. We're going to ask you to show up to somebody's house. And I know if you've never been to somebody's house and walking in a stranger's house for the first time, I know that's a terrifying proposition. You win. You're right. I concede. You're right. It's terrifying. It's awkward. It's weird, but it's worth it. We're going to ask you to show up to somebody's house. You're going to walk in. You're going to be greeted by some other people that are there. We're going to share a meal together. We're going to pray together. We're going to talk about some of the content that I deliver or whoever's on the stage that week delivers from the stage. We're going to talk about some of the takeaways that we had from the week's sermon. And then we're going to open God's Word together. And I hope last week I made a really good case for why you need to be reading Scripture. If you weren't here last week, you should go and listen to that podcast. And hopefully I can compel you to want to read God's Word, the Scriptures. We're going to read the Scriptures together and we're going to study. Hopefully you have already studied through those prior to arriving at your group, and then we're going to have some discussion around the things that we were able to discover from the truth of God's Word during our study time that week, and then we have conversation about what we believe that means and how we are personally engaging with the content from Scripture, and then we share that. And here's the beautiful thing about that. There are four or five couples in my Connect group, and that means that there are between six and eight other people in the room that saw something different, that were moved differently by a different particular part of the text that we're studying that week. Something stood out to them that's different than what stood out to me. And all of a sudden, my time of study in Scripture and my love for God has increased, not just by what I take away from the Word, but from what they took away from it as well. And it's like I get to lean on and be strengthened by the time that they spent in Scripture that week. Isn't that awesome? Like, I get to love God more because of what somebody else read and studied. All right. A few were excited about that, and that's good. That's good. But as much as I enjoy that, I want that for each and every one of us. And if you want that, if you want to piggyback on somebody else's efforts to grow your faith, we believe the best way for you to accomplish that is by being part of a Connect group. They're going to start back in 2 weeks. That gives you 2 weeks to figure out what night of the week works and which group you like to be in. We can help you with that. There are cards that you can fill out. You can contact us through email, through Facebook, however it is. You can find me, find Pastor Quentin or Pastor Jonah, somebody, tell, hey, I want to be part of a group. We'll make sure you get connected with a group that works for you. But again, if you're going to have the best year ever, if 2020 is going to be the best year that you've ever experienced, you need to be around some other believers. And there are some other believers that need to be around you because you're going to make them better and they're going to make you better. And us working together to make each other stronger in our faith is how each and every one of us will have the best year yet. Let's pray together. Father, God, today as we think about our identity as a group, the power of like-minded people doing the same thing for the same purpose and with the same resolve. God, we know that to be a powerful thing. We've seen it. We know it. We know it's true. God, I don't need to convince anybody that we're better as a group than we are as individuals. God, we know that. But Father, sometimes it's easy for us to prioritize other things, to not press into what we know to be true, that God, we'd be better with accountability. We'd be better with counter perspectives from those that think and view life differently than we do. God, we know that it will make us better, but Father, what I'm asking for in this moment is that you would challenge us to make the decisions and the commitments necessary. God, to put ourselves around other people for their benefit and for ours. And God, we want to do all of that because we want to know more of you. And God, it's been the experience of my life, and I know that it's the experience of so many here, Father, that the more that I know of you, the more that I love you. And there is so much of you still to be known that, Father, I want to be around other people that help me find more of you, to see more of you, to discover more of your truth Because God, every time that happens, my faith is strengthened, my resolve is strengthened, my love for you increases. And God, I want more of that in this year, and I want more of that for each and every person that calls Fusion City Church their church home. So Father, would you help us to make the decisions necessary for that to become our reality? We love you, Father. We thank you for your son, Jesus, for the hope and the peace and the life and joy that we have through him. It's in his name I pray. Amen.